Council meeting for Tuesday, February 25th, 2020, 9 a.m. is hereby called to order. I would like to welcome everyone here this morning. And if anyone has electronic devices, I would ask that you please turn them to the silent mode. Under 2.0, changes approval of agenda. I have no additions to the agenda today. Are there any additions to the agenda? Hearing none?
Just one edit there on the 12.1. It says the fiscal activity strategy 2020-2023 is actually 2025.
There is one amendment to the agenda.
12.1, 2020 to 2025.
If there are no other amendments, a motion to approve the agenda as amended would be in order. Moved by Councilor Fancy, seconded by Councilor Fraley. Any discussion? Are you ready for the motion? All those in favor of the motion? Thank you very much. It is unanimous. Under 3.0 presentations, we have 3.1, Continuum of Care in Region of Queens Municipality, and we have Christopher Clark, Andrew McVicker, and Annette Hartland. And I would ask if you would please come to the presentation table, please.
If you're operating, why didn't you take the middle chair? Morning, Kevin.
Oh, yeah. So it's the, just the forward button, does it?
Yeah, okay. It's forward. Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to come to council and to see old friends. I think our presentation will be a little unusual in that we're not asking for money and we're not asking for any bylaws to be bent or modified for our needs. Rather, we wanted to come and talk about what we as a board do and about the continuum of care in Queens County. And it's a continuum because it starts really with home support. As people become aged, older, less able to look after themselves, we have a strong organization and a growing organization that provides support to people like that. It also supports the government's strategy of staying in your home as long as you can. And this certainly facilitates that, the services we provide through home support. We have been making exciting progress under the umbrella of, so there are two organizations which report into the Manor Board. One triangle is home support, the other is the Manor itself. So we've been making exciting progress with home support during the last year or so. And we have Annette Hartland, who is our executive director here today, and she will talk about what that organization has been doing and how it's been growing. We've been making a lot of progress, too, at the Manor during the last year. I think there was a need for changes in management, changes in the reputation of the Manor. And we've done a lot of work in that regard. And Andrew McVicker, who is our new executive director and who's been with us about 8 months, will be talking about that part of it. So I'm not going to do much talking, which those of you who know me will be thankful for. But I'm going to turn it over, first of all, to Annette to talk about home support. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. When I first came to the board, or came to home support, as a new executive director in December of 2018, our agency was in a waitlist situation. We had approximately 44 clients that we were unable to, although eligible through continuing care, were unable to provide services in their home. A lot of that issue surrounded around not having adequate staff and some other logistics that were happening. That coupled with the fact that our physical office spaces, many of you probably know where we're located above the post office in the Parsons building, made us pretty inaccessible, definitely to our clients, but basically to the public at large. So the first goal that I set when I came on board was to get us out of the wait list, which we were successfully able to do that in just under 2 months. We had an active recruitment strategy, and we were able to successfully hire some certified CCAs that were able to get us out of the wait list. The second goal at that point in time was to get us out of our physical location and to relocate us to a place that was more centrally located, more visible, and definitely accessible to the public and to the client base that we service. From there, we started our strategic plan and worked out a deal with Ken Anthony to lease the and renovate the old Metropolitan store, which is now 266 Main Street, where we're located. Our building, we've doubled our space. We've also are completely barrier-free in terms of accessibility. From working with the continuing care programs provincially for over 30 years, when I took on this job, I recognized that there were many, many gaps in service delivery that if we were able to address, we would hopefully be in a position where people could stay in their homes, not tie up acute care beds, and basically wait for long-term care at a point when they definitely needed that level of care. The decision was endorsed at that point by our board that we move forward with our projects of the relocation, which was taking shape. We then started to focus on working with key partners in the area. And from that came the idea that why not have a hub for seniors in Queens County? We are in a technology era where basically, you know, if you want to access any type of government program or services, you call a series of 1-800 numbers, and hopefully at some point in time, if you're lucky, you get to talk to a person. We looked at our population that we were trying to service and realized that that's not where these people needed to be. They needed to be able to just make hopefully one phone call, if that, or one visit to an office. And we then would undertake the responsibility of kind of helping them filter through the bureaucratic process of whatever supports and services they may need to access to stay in their own homes, whether that be an application for a housing grant, you know, whether that be PharmaCare or, you know, the continuing care programs, whatever it may be. Not that we had all the answers, but we would be that one-stop shop that could get the answers for them. So that was the idea that we now are working towards of being the hub for senior programming here in Queens County. I must say that buy-in from stakeholders and from the community at large is tremendous. Our board, through our chair and the board members, has been very, very supportive. We've been successful to date in recruiting, having Queens Transit, having offices in our facility, having our staff assist in installing Lifeline and Northwood In Touch systems for clients that may be eligible. We also have senior safety, which is a key component that is now physically located and working out of our offices, because we share 90% of the senior safety officers' clients are our clients as well. So we've been able to bridge that gap. We have some future programs that we're in the preliminary stages of developing, which in just a little over a year will, if funding through the government comes through, we will be doubling our space. We will be offering an on-site respite program. As you probably can appreciate now, the only respite program available in Queens County is at North Queens, and that is basically a 24/7 respite. And unfortunately, that bed is attached to the secure unit. So many, many people, although the care and the services are excellent, don't feel comfortable in that environment. There's also a very well-known and program at Queens Manor, the Adult Day Program, which we are no way, shape, or form trying to impinge on that at all. What we're looking at is a lot of times our respite program, we send caregivers out to the client's home to sit with them so that they can go do their errands or whatever. A lot of times these people don't. They just need a break. They just want a break from their caregiving responsibilities. So what we're saying with our partnerships with Queens Transit, okay, we'll have a safe, a secure environment with programming, anything to address the physical, social, and emotional needs of that individual. From an 8 to 5, 9 to 5 a day, we'll pick your loved one up, we'll take care of them for the day. If you just want to stay home and rest, that's your choice. Coupled with that, because we will have this broad space to do this in, we're looking at recognizing the gaps in services in the province. We're looking at trying to acquire a permit to operate a non-licensed training institute at our facility so that we can afford people the opportunity to take the continuing care assistant program in modules. Right now, in order to do that, you have to take 10 months and go either to community college or to a private trade school like FutureWorks or whatever it may be and take this course. Well, what we're saying is, no, we'll give you some work in allowing you to work, but also take your modules as needed so that we have 2 years to do this according to the provincial regulations. That at the end of the 2 years, if it's your choice, you want to be a certified CCA, you're working towards that, you're having income coming in, and we're going to give you the necessary training for you to be certified at the end of it. That also opens up other partnerships because of the fact that we have this big space that if other like-minded individuals or organizations wanted to come in and do training, like we do first aid, CPR, you know, nonviolent crisis intervention, all of those things. We're in a central location, and those are some of the projects we're looking at doing in the future. I see a lot of growth and opportunity here for Queens County in particular. I'm working with the Queens Care Society. They are trying to acquire age-friendly international designation, and we're all part and parcel of that process. So I just see us and letting you be aware of just exactly where we're looking at going here in Queens County with home support, starting the continuum of care and being the hub for seniors to stay in their own home. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew?
Yep.
I'm sort of holding questions till the end, if that's all right, so we don't get accused of running over time.
Well, I want to thank you for having us here today to talk about this important subject. I want to give you a bit of a summary of Queens Manor present day. We have currently 61 residents, and we employ approximately 102 people. And that's a combination of permanent full-time and part-time staff, as well as casuals. So at 102 employees, we are a quite a large employer here in the region. Over the past couple years, retention and stability in senior management roles and leadership roles has been a bit of an issue at the Manor. Over the last 5 years, we've had a combination of 5 permanent and 2 interim executive directors. We've had 3 directors of finance in 5 years and 5 directors of care in the last 5 years. So as you can imagine, when there is a lack of stability in leadership roles, that trickles down to the frontline staff and presents a real challenge to them to feel stability and continuity in the vision of the facility. So that has been a real challenge over the last 5 years. I was hired in July and I moved here with my family 2 years ago. We're incredibly committed to the region. I'm not going anywhere unless the board wants to get rid of me, but I'm really happy in my role. I'm really enjoying it and I'm committed long-term to the Manor. And I can say that when I look at my leadership team, the same commitment is there. And we are starting to establish a real sense of stability and a stable vision going forward. Some recent upgrades to the Manor over the last few years. We purchased a new bus a couple years back. You may see it on the roads around town. We use it both for our robust recreational programming, going out for fish and chips and taking drives around Western Head, that type of thing. We also use it, importantly, to transport residents to medical appointments as well. We recently received a large donation of $50,000 to put towards our enhanced unit, which is the unit that we have in-house for people with generally with dementia who have who need specialized space to limit noise and other stimuli that can result in reactive behaviors. So some of the things that we've done to the enhanced unit is new flooring. We've freshened up the paint. We've put panels on the doors to make it look like they're actual outside doors, and each door is a little bit different. We've got new furniture, new lighting, decals on the walls. So we've really brightened up the space and made it a more inviting and comfortable environment for the residents that live in the enhanced unit. We've got a new boiler, not quite as exciting, but I can tell you it's obviously really important. And we added heat pumps as well this past summer to help regulate less for the heat, but more in the summer months when it gets quite hot in there and the staff are struggling to finish a shift without suffering heat exhaustion. Recently, we've put in some funding requests for some really innovative projects through the Continuing Care Innovation Pilot Project here in the province. Some of the areas we're looking at are something called Paraglide technology, which allows residents to independently reposition themselves in their chair. Virtual reality programming for the recreation department, which would allow residents to check some things off their bucket list and travel to Paris or New York or maybe their childhood neighborhood, and also to potentially communicate with family members who might be living out of town. And also, we've put in a funding request for what are called sit-to-stand lifts, which again assist the staff to help residents mobilize and transfer, but also giving the residents the opportunity to contribute and be more independent in that as well. So when we combined stability and management and leadership with some of these upgrades that we're making, we're really seeing an improvement in the image of the manor. This has resulted in increase in recruitment. So over the last 10 years, we have recruited 7 CCAs, 3 LPNs, 5 RNs, 3 staff in our environmental department, and a journeyman cook. So that is something that has been a real benefit of this improved image that we're trying to establish at the manor. I go to forums around the province with administrators at other long-term care facilities, and I can tell you that the struggles that they're having with staffing are far more significant than we're having. We have issues, but not quite as bad as what I hear at these forums, so it's been good. If you look at our Facebook account, we have just under 2,000 followers. And I think that's a real good indicator of how our image is improving in the community. Our recreation department is second to none in the province. I'm convinced of that. At these forums that I go to provincially, I've had several administrators say to me, "We've stopped following your Facebook account because we're jealous." So this really does speak to our image here in the community, and also the community giving back to the manor. Since I started in July, a big part of my focus has been on staff morale. I attended a conference in Halifax put on by the Danish Embassy, and I'm going to take a shot at the word. It's called Arbejdsglæde, and it means happiness at work. So this has become a real focus of our staff, and we've had some contests where you provide, you know, 3 things that made you happy at work today, and your name goes into a ballot box for a prize. And the concept of really providing happiness to one another, because it's a real hard job to work in a long-term care facility. So there's been a real focus on improving the morale that way. And through all of this, you know, the focus has really been on 3 main things: clinical best practice, so make sure that we're following gold standard practice in the care that we provide our residents, evidence-based trends in long-term care, and also a progressive workplace, where we're really trying to create a workplace where people want to come to work. That affects attendance. Our attendance management program has become much more robust, and just overall morale. So, on a regular basis, I don't think a day goes by where I don't get positive feedback about the care that the people that work at Queen's Manor is providing to the residents. And I mean that. I really don't think a day goes by where I don't get that, at least every 2 days. However, the building was built 38 years ago for a much different population of residents. So the residents that would have been coming into the building back then were what we call level one care. They were mobile. They could get themselves out of the building in the event of an emergency. They required far less nursing care than the residents that are there now require. I've been told that they would do that some of the residents would do their own laundry. It's certainly not the case now. So we have an amazing staff that provides amazing care, high quality care, in a building that's not designed to provide care to those residents. So where does that leave us? It leaves us with staff that are providing care in cramped spaces. It means that their body mechanics aren't very good. So they're in compromised positions where they're more apt to get soft tissue injuries and then be off work. What does that mean? That means our WCB costs go through the roof. It means that we have a staff that have the potential to provide incredible care in a building that's preventing them from doing it. So we have untapped potential in terms of the care that we provide our residents. And then most importantly, it means that we have residents whose dignity and independence aren't being maximized as well. So in short, we have an amazing staff, incredibly committed, trying to create a positive morale in a building that really challenges them to do that. So what I'd like you to do now is envision yourself in a point in your life where you're either considering going into long-term care, but also picture that point where you are considering putting a loved one in long-term care. And I want you to think about wanting them to keep them local and have them become residents of Queens Manor. And I want you to ask yourself, do you want to put them in a facility that has a lack of adequate centralized air conditioning? Because that's what we have. I want you to think about putting them in a facility with no private palliative care space, because that's what we have. I want you to think about a facility that has cramped dining space, where if you want your loved ones to come in and join you for lunch, there's a decent chance we're going to tell you that we can't quite do that safely. I want you to think about your loved one being in a facility that if it were a new building, it wouldn't meet the licensing requirements for square footage, because that's what Queens Manor is. I want you to think about a building that presents significant infection control issues. So during the flu months, it is a real struggle for us with many residents in double rooms and inadequate air handling to prevent outbreaks. It's a real challenge. So we've got great staff doing their best, but the building doesn't allow them to meet their potential. I want you to think about a facility that is often quite noisy with a lack of private family space. The building wasn't designed for that. We do our best, but again. I want you to think about a facility, or putting your loved one in a facility, where if they have limited mobility, they have limited access to bathrooms, which means they have to depend on incontinence products. Does that promote dignity? It doesn't. And lastly, again, double rooms. We have half of our residents are in double rooms. You can't control infection. Through double rooms, there's no privacy in double rooms. So the future for Queens Manor, or what our vision for the future of Queens Manor would be, is a manor that's part of an aged-friendly community. So a facility that is integrated with the community and interacting with programs throughout the community. The vision is for a facility that's meeting best practice standards in infection control, universal design and innovation, resident dignity, privacy, and independence, best practice human resources, community integration again, and importantly, dedicated palliative care space. All things that currently are at the very best a challenge at Queens Manor. Thank you.
So, as you may have gathered, we have faced the challenges in home support that we were faced with a year and a half ago. We've met those challenges. We're growing and going forward. We are working very closely with other seniors-oriented organizations and are making big strides in that regard. But the great thing in that particular area is it doesn't need a lot of capital to get going. And we've taken advantage of that, and we will continue to take advantage of that. Insofar as the manor is concerned, we have a huge challenge. The manor is, as Andrew has pointed out in graphic detail, woefully inadequate for the services it should be providing. You, in the region, have a similar challenge with Hillsview Acres. And we started, I had the first meeting with the Deputy Minister in January of 2013 to replace Hillsview Acres. And it's still not replaced. But we seem at the moment to, there seem to be two sort of tracks forward, but I think they're mutually exclusive if we're not careful. I think if you get funding to build Hillsview Acres, it'll be a long time before we get funding to do the manor. And if we get funding to do the manor, it will be a long time before we get more funding to replace the residential care facility. I think we've got to work together. I've proposed to the Deputy Minister of TIR and also to the Director of Long-Term Care that a committee be formed between the Region of Queens, the Manor Board, and the province. The committee to sit no longer than 6 months to determine the way forward for long-term residential care in Queens, how we can integrate, how we can minimize capital costs to a point that they're doable. So that's the vision that we have. Is it going to be a challenge? It certainly is. I believe that we as an area may have to kick money in, as we did with the hospital, but it's going to take everybody working together with one common focus, with one common goal, to achieve the objective. So that's enough from me. Any questions, we'd be pleased, Mr. Mayor, to answer.
Yes, councillors, who would like to ask a question or comment on this? Yes, Councillor Fisk?
First of all, thank you very much for the presentation. Very exciting, very understanding. Annette, you did a very good job explaining yourself in detail and see that you're moving forward very well. The administration of the home, I feel very strong that welcome to Queens County. You're a light that we need. I see that you're being very aggressive going ahead, trying to get the morale built up at the manor. And moving forward, I do know the last 5 years there were struggles. And I think there's going to be improvement. And Christopher, you did also a fairly good presentation. Thank you.
Because it was short, Raymond.
Well, I do appreciate all your thoughts. Thank you.
Councilor McLeod?
Well, I feel quite pleased, more than pleased, to hear your comments and your vision for Queens County and for the age-friendly community that we're striving for. Speaking about visions and speaking about partnerships, Annette, I know you've gotten a lot of partnerships and done a lot of work with our Queens Home Care. And we really appreciate that. You brought it from, it was a well-needed service, but you've extended that and added more programming and see a vision that I know with your experience in home care and in that type of profession, you've really added a lot of stimulation to that program. And I like your vision and what you're doing and what you've accomplished so far. And it's really great for our community. You extended the workforce and you provided programming for our residents that was much needed, but we didn't have the initiative to really go forward with that. So you've started that progress, and it's really good to hear. And thank you for that.
Thank you.
And Andrew, I first met you this morning, and I liked your enthusiasm, and I know Queens Manor for, I think it was 40-some years. I was actually there for the opening. And as Chris indicated, we're all in the same boat with our own facility for the residential care. And I like the vision that you have with the partnerships, and it's all about partnerships. And I think we have to be open-minded and really get down to the nitty-gritty and fight for what we need and what we have to have here in Queens. And I think our residents deserve that. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that very much. And thank you, Chris, for all your hard work on this. I know what your vision is, so hopefully you can accomplish that. Thanks.
Any other counselor? Deputy Mayor Kelly?
Hi. Thanks, and thanks for a great presentation. Annette, we've spoke at the open house, and amazing all of the things that you're doing there. I think you're going to need more space, maybe, to accomplish everything you want to do. My questions are, Andrew, you said when the manor was first built, it was for level one care.
Mm-hmm.
Is it still level one care?
No, not at all.
What is it? What is your facility considered to be?
Well, we are certainly level two. There is some vagueness around the concept of levels.
Okay.
What I can tell you is that the vast majority of our residents have complex comorbidities, meaning more than just one medical condition that really affects the care that we provide and really complicates the care that we provide.
Right.
So we are looking at, most residents are immobile, most residents require basic personal care assistance, toileting, bathing, feeding, far above what would have been considered level one care at the time.
Yeah. And I know it's kind of hard. I mean, I follow your Facebook page, and when you say, you know, would you want your, would you want to be in a place like Queens Manor? And when you say, on the one hand, I'm not so sure, I would, yeah. I mean, you guys are having
yep.
a party there every
yep.
day, which is
yep.
amazing, absolutely
yep.
amazing. You know, I just want to get on that bus with Lorianne and you know, turn on the tunes full blast and head on out to the Dairy Tree for fish and chips, right? I just think it's what you provide for the residents is absolutely amazing. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they must feel like a real home, a home
mm-hmm.
environment there.
Yes.
But it's hard to ignore sort of the other side.
Well, we certainly wouldn't post on Facebook the other side.
No, exactly.
Yeah. yeah.
I know it's all the good stuff.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
For sure. But it's a, you know, and another question then is, do you have a wait list?
There's a provincial wait list.
Right.
Right.
How does that work?
So essentially, when one of our residents passes, we inform continuing care, and
perfect.
They are placed through continuing care.
Okay.
So we don't have any control over who, we don't have our actual
right.
Queens Manor wait list.
Do you know how the wait list works for the province? If somebody's on there and they live here, is there anything that says they would get wait and get in the manor, or they place the first place that comes available?
First,
that's what they
may I speak
your,
to this?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
just because
yeah.
I used to do placements. Yeah. So when they decentralized, when the programs came over from Community Services to Department of Health in 2000, they came up with a provincial intake model. Basically, it's a 1-800 number you call for any services under continuing care. They also broke apart the long-term care placement component of that, and that is actually handled through a placement office, which in our area, the Western Zone, is in Kentville. So when a person makes application for long-term care, it basically goes to a committee that gets approved, and from there it gets placed on this wait list, which is managed out of Kentville. The rules are you have to accept the first available bid within 100 kilometers. So just because you reside in Queens County does not mean that you're going to get offered a bed, especially if you're in hospital.
Yeah.
If you're staying at home, you can wait for your facility of choice,
right.
which could be the manor, and you go on by date of application. The only people that trump you are people that are under adult protection, that are under a court order to be removed from their home.
Right.
They would trump anybody on that provincial wait list. So anybody, if somebody from Cape Breton has relatives here in Queens County, and they want Queens County, they want Queens Manor as their facility of choice, if they applied on a certain date, then they're going to get placed according to that date.
Right.
So it doesn't mean if you're from Queens County that you're automatically going to get a Queens County bid. So that's basically where it stands. You're just in a pool provincially.
But if, but the thing is, if you're at home, because I get asked this a lot and talk to people a lot about, you know, going to long-term care, and they think that if they don't take the first one, or some people say if they take the first one, it's quicker to get moved into here. But they can say, if they're at home, they can say no, and they're not going to lose their space to get their place. They're still next on the line to get the place that they want.
Now, when I left about a year and a half ago, there was a movement afoot, and I don't know if it's been finalized, so I don't want to give you any misinformation.
Okay. Right.
It was basically new applicants had to give three choices. And if you turned down any one of those three choices, then you basically went off that list.
Oh, okay.
And had to start out from the beginning again.
Right.
Before it was, if you only wanted Queens Manor per se, and you were still being stabilized at home, you could wait until your name came up. But if you turned the bed down, then you had to reapply.
Right.
So it's almost become somewhat of a punitive.
Well, that makes sense, though. If you put three on the,
Can I carry on with a couple more questions?
Follow up, yes.
The home support, are you just 9 to 5?
No, we're 24/7.
24/7, so you do evenings.
Yes.
Could you do respite in the evenings?
We have done respite
okay.
in the evenings. We like to have a little lead time.
Yeah.
When the government shifted, once again, their focus, and they went to this Home First initiative because acute care beds were being tied up by people not able to go home because there wasn't enough resources or waiting for long-term care. That's when home care services started to expand. Now, a lot of agencies around the province are in a waitlist situation, so they're unable to even meet the basic needs. We here in Queens County, for whatever reason, and I think a lot of it is our recruitment strategy, the way we treat our employees, the incentives that we offer them, we have not had an issue with recruitment. We actually just hired 7 more CCAs last week. So so we definitely are able, if you need 24/7, 7 days a week, you know, you're into a level of care that perhaps you should be looking at the alternatives.
Yeah.
But for people that, you know, a couple nights a week, whatever it may be, yes, we definitely, and have done that in the past.
Right, okay. I have one more question, but I can wait.
I'll do a follow-up with you. Yes. Councilor Fancy?
Yeah, same thing. I could put a dozen questions here, so we just have to limit to what I'm going to talk about. First of all, I just wanted to follow up on one thing that we were talking about. So if you were at home, and you said, I'd like to be at Queens Manor. That you could make the request as long as you're at home, and if anything else come up, we aren't into that three picks. You're into the just, say, I'd like to be at Queens Manor, and it comes up, something else comes up, you say no. You still stay into that spot.
I'm not sure on, because that was in the process of changing when I left,
right.
That they were looking at the three picks. That you had to at least have three choices, and if any one of those three choices were offered to you and you said no, then you kind of came off the list. But I'm not sure that they've implemented that.
That would be nice to know, because it would be nice to be able to get some...
I can get that clarification for you.
Especially at home, some of them at home, they could say, look, I can put my name in now because I know Joan, she's up there, and I would go if I knew that I could get into there. And then that makes a lot different than saying I'm going to pick three and say I'm not going to go there, not going to go here. You may get more people to buy in if they know that they're where they are.
And it also should be noted that the legislations have and the rules have changed in that just because you want to go doesn't mean you're going to get approved to go.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're finding is happening a lot lately. They're really looking at the functionality of the individual and the services that are available in the
Absolutely.
Community. Because if there's any way, shape, or form that we can stabilize, and that's where cooperation and the continuum of care comes in, you know, we have to work together, because maybe home support could, even short term, even 1 month or 2 months, keeping somebody out of a hospital bed or out of a long-term care facility and freeing that bed up for somebody whose needs are higher. That, you know, that those are big cost savings. So it's not as simple as it used to be. There's a lot of other factors that come into play now.
I'm looking at it from the other direction, and the other direction of saying people don't want to leave their home until the very last minute, and then all of a sudden you're taking up hospital beds.
Right.
If we can encourage them to put their names in, because they know that they can be up there, because Joan and Jill and everybody else is up there, there could be an opportunity that they might say, yes, maybe I'll go up and visit, maybe I'll put my name in there, because I, instead of waiting for that last minute, well, you have to have it, and all of a sudden we're taking up the hospital beds.
I think there is such a shortage of beds in the province that it will be a real challenge to implement that kind of strategy.
I know, but even if you could do it to a degree, even if you gain one or two, that's a...
I mean, we are controlled by what we can do, but I'm thinking on a broader basis.
Right.
How could they, and I've been exposed to this mm-hmm. for a long time, now how could the province ever build a structure like that which would accommodate that kind of thought? But that's a provincial.
But the whole idea is of saying that if Joan is in the hospital up at the manor and we have her friends are still in Liverpool, they might be able to get transit to go up and do things like that. With Jonestown in New Germany, she may never see her friends who can't get down to see her because they can't drive her and their family's not around. But right? Well, you know, that's the whole thing. can I just call, I'll just try to do this quickly. I see they started the CCA program down in Bloomberg at the manor down there. They offer free enrollment to stay in the manor, and they would pay for their classes. They just did this here a few months ago. So the programs are out there to, and we used to have it out in North Queens years ago. And I asked about different questions, and they didn't want to seem to touch that, because if you get some people locally, like in North Queens, to do that, they probably will stay in North Queens rather than somebody, because we do church services, and I go up to North Queens. And I see a lot of people from Bridgewater and such is they're there, and I think, like, how long are they going to stay? Because they're going to probably go to an area of their own choice. You can get locals to do it and do the program there. It's so much better. Would you fellows ever consider going down to South Shore Housing and doing some kind of a presentation?
Sure.
Yeah.
If we're welcome,
if they
would like us. Because I was thinking as we're sitting here and I watched people's faces, there seemed to be real interest in what we were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And what a pity that we no longer have a local newspaper, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely.
And I think we'll talk about whether we could do a presentation to a larger group or whether it would be of interest to the public.
Right. Because I know down there talking, I know their wait lists are long. And to see where you fellas come from 44 to zero, I've been watching it and watching the wait list go down. Because I talk to different people, and they're down there. I know people who are working at home care. They don't have a zero. It's things that you could show them that could be able to how you work, and I think it's all good for housing. It's all part of it.
And what Annette didn't say was that through Queen's Home Support, mm-hmm. we're providing services to some areas in Lunenburg County.
Yes.
Because we're... Mm-hmm. We're doing so well by comparison.
Yes. Okay.
Councillor Frehley?
First, thank you for a really, really informative session. We get a lot of people coming here, but this one really kind of opened our eyes a little bit, actually a lot. I'm simply amazed with the partnerships. I think partnerships, as we all know, are the way to go. I think you've taken that to a whole new level, and I commend you for that. I'm surprised about a few things. First, I think Chris and I talked about this when we first came in, was that home care is under the Queen's Manor Board. I think that's, I don't know if anyone else knew that, but I certainly didn't, so that was informative. 170 employees for between you, that's really amazing as well. So. My question is, I clearly have a vision for what you want to be in the future, and I'm wondering, you talk about age-friendly community, are you talking about a space altogether? Are you talking about continuing these partnerships and growing to a new level? Or, you know, can you talk a little bit about the vision and what you'd like to see?
Well, I know when I think of an age-friendly community, I think of both internal and external, right? So internally, a facility that creates a community. right? So if you look at some of the newer facilities in the province, you'll see storefronts within the building itself, and it creates a community for those that can't get out of the facility to recognize that they are in a community. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have an amazing community at Queen's Manor, but when you walk in, you might not consider it a community.
Right.
But in terms of external, I see a facility that is, my personal vision would be a facility that's closer to the downtown, that can be more integrated with maybe AmeriCenter or something like that, and have more access to other community services, more of a continuum of age in there, so you've got school kids coming up on a regular basis, which we have, but in terms of a new building or a new facility, something that makes that an easier blend.
So as I would look at an age-friendly community, I would take it even beyond that. And I think that the painting of the yellow splotches, I know it's yours, and I knew there was a bath, but it is useful to people as they're getting older, whose sight is not as great as it used to be. And I see the age-friendly community going from that right through the community to the facilities themselves. And with all of these things that we, and I say we because our board, the Region of Queens, Queens Care, things like Queens Transit, we've been able, through working together, to round out the employment of the senior safety coordinator from 3 days a week to 5 days a week, and now we're looking at possibilities of being able to get benefits for that position, which in turn is going to make it better and easier to recruit quality people. You've got the Queen's Transit system that is growing. I see all of those kinds of things focusing into an age-friendly community. So right from the sidewalks up, and yes, we're going to have things that don't work, and yes, we're going to have buildings that you can't get into, like the Astor Theatre, the Town Hall, you can't get upstairs. We're going to have those things, and we're going to continue to fix them. But it's all part of that moving towards an age-friendly community. And as we keep getting new people in our community, and a lot of them are retired people, once they've made that move, in many instances, they don't want to make another move out of this community. So the more we can do to improve that whole lifestyle for older people, and not just old, because disabled people too,
that's right.
All within that same ball of wax.
I would encourage you, if you want to see a big vision, I would encourage you to research online, and I can give you some links to what they do in Denmark. I went to this presentation in Halifax, and a gentleman there, I forget his name, he has created something called Cycling Without Age, where he's created this program where he goes from nursing home to nursing home with what he calls a trishaw, which is like a reverse tricycle. And he takes residents out on these bikes. It's something I could see us doing here. But if you look at what they're doing in Denmark, they're breaking down those barriers and the stigma around aging. And one of the quotes from that presentation that stuck with me is, in Nova Scotia, in Canada, you'll often hear the phrase, the burden of the elderly. And in Denmark, it's the opportunity of the elderly.
Right.
So it's just a lens switch, right? And so I'd be happy to share those links with you, because it's really inspiring.
I think the thing is that we as council, and I know I speak for all of us, I mean, that's a vision that we have as well. We're working hard, you know, we're always talking about sidewalks, and we're talking about the yellow paint lines, and, you know, we're just hiring accessibility coordinator. Those are things that we're actively working on, but it takes a whole, you have to kind of adopt that feeling so mm-hmm. that it's part of every decision you make.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where we can do better, because we're well on our way, but I think if we really focus on, you know, making sure that every decision we make goes back to that age friendly, then then we're going to help you guys out in the long run. So
And that's where the phrase universal design comes from, right?
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. So we're on our way, but thank you for kind of pointing out the other things. So great presentation.
Councilor Johnson?
Well, as in part, I see most of you guys at too many board meetings anyway, but to that end, I really applaud the idea of having that age-friendly community model and the goal in sight. And we, you know, the region and Queen's Care commissioned that study here 2 years ago that would give us some kind of a template and not just working from individual visions, but to be able to plug it all in. And I like Councilor Frelick, without partnerships, you're wasting a whole lot of resource and doing stuff in silos that you're just absolutely getting nowhere. But one of the biggest questions, and I think this is for you, Annette, when we talked about partnering, the VON didn't come into any of that conversation. And for me, I kind of wonder, there must be some kind of overlaps of services between what you offer, what VON offers, because I know there's an overlap there with Queen's Transit that we're exploring as well. But is there opportunities for partnering with those guys, or maybe it happens today?
Well, we have in the past. We've always had very home support, and VON have worked in tangent with one another in terms of they provided the nursing component of staying in your own home, and we did the other component. Unfortunately, with the restructuring, I guess, of VON and kind of decentralizing from this area, we've lost a lot of that connection. But I think there are, you know, I can't speak for VON, but I think there's movements afoot to kind of bring that back on site again, because I know we were looking at, you know, some of the programs that they were offering that were kind of falling by the wayside, and perhaps as home support we could pick those up, but we don't want to step on anybody's toes either. So I think it's a wait and see at this point in time to see what's going on with VON in terms of their restructure. I was talking to one of their board members, and they're well aware of some issues that are surfacing, and I think they are looking at those, but I can't speak to what direction they're going in.
Sure. No, but great presentation.
Deputy Mayor Kelly?
Yeah, just a couple more. And one of them was that Councillor Frelick brought up about the merging of these two. And then I found that out when you had your open house. But when did this actually happen? Like, it used to be Region of Queen's Home Support had one board, right? And then the manor, they never had a board?
No, Heather, as I remember it, I was on Social Health Board at the time.
Yeah.
And as Annette had said, they took home support from community services and put it under the Department of Health. And I know that we were all nervous on Social Health Board that we would have we would inherit that responsibility. So I don't know what happened anywhere else, but I do know that in Queens, the manor board structure was there, so they've moved it in under that manor board. And it was about the year 2000, I think Annette said, but it was,
oh, wow, that
yeah, it's been there forever kind of thing.
And just one other question too is one of the things that concerns us with aging people and being at home is the isolation and the communication. So we know that, you know, home support, you know, goes into those people's homes, and I know there's a fine line between what you can do or for their privacy when you do go in their homes, right? But is there any opportunity to create a communication link? You know, these are people that aren't on the internet, that, you know, connecting with them through, like, well, if you're not on the internet, that includes everything, email and whatever, and maybe they don't even have internet, but making a communication with those people for information from the region and what's available and that sort of thing. I think we've talked about that before, but I do understand that it's difficult. You're going home for one particular thing, you're not there to, you know, to promote anything, but it's just...
Well, actually, that has changed, and
okay.
I'm glad you brought that point up. We actually just met with Vino's Print, and are in the preliminary stages of resurrecting a newspaper for people that will be delivered to their homes to keep them in the loop, recognizing,
right.
Also recognizing when you call our office, you get a live voice, you do not get an automated system.
Yeah.
Those sort of things. We've also gotten away from task-oriented. It used to be through what they call resource allocations that you were allocated as a home support worker. You were given a schedule. You were allocated an hour to go in and help somebody with a bath or an hour to go in and do their housekeeping and whatever. We've gotten away from that. We still allocate time.
Yeah.
But if you can do that bath in 20 minutes, we're saying don't leave the home.
Yeah.
No, you're going to spend the next 40 minutes and you're going to socialize with that person.
Right.
And you're going to, you know,
yeah.
do that, because I think the provinces start to recognize the fact that, you know, you can look at people's functional unmet needs, but what about their social and their emotional needs, and the fact that a lot of our seniors are in isolation
right.
and all of those things. So that is a huge gap. Part of some of the programming, we're looking at such things as our seniors that are able coming in and teaching some of the cooking components
yeah.
of our nutritional program for our new CCAs coming in.
Excellent.
Engaging
yeah.
our seniors to the extent that they're able and want to be part of that programming.
Okay. Well, as far as the region is concerned, I'm sure that they want to connect with our, three times a year comes out our newsletter from the region, and that would be a lot of information
mm-hmm.
that we would like to make sure got to those people as well. So.
Yes.
Great, thank you.
And speaking to, just to piggyback there, speaking to social isolation and collaboration between the two organizations, the proposal that I just put in for virtual reality glasses,
yeah.
Within that proposal I spoke about the opportunity to share the technology with home support and bring that technology to people in their homes that can't get out of their homes and allow them to go anywhere in the world.
Amazing.
So.
After hearing all these comments, it almost makes me think that aging is and seniors is now an industry. I mean, you're dealing with all these aspects.
Yeah,
you know?
Completely.
Yeah. So I mean, that's a, you know, maybe that will give us more drive to accomplish what we want to do and be recognized with the various government departments and partnerships and the places like the Shannox Group in Bridgewater, who have that wonderful facility. Which I happened to visit Mrs. Corkum on her 100th birthday. She's a resident there. But you know, that's pretty much what it is. It's like an industry. You have to really get out and make it work and provide the needed services that our people deserve.
Susan, we've got a little committee within the board that is looking at rebuilding or either building a new manor or rebuilding the manor. And we've gone to three or four facilities. I think it's fair to say that physically, there's nothing matter with our building except it's not servicing the need, you know, what it, we need it to do. But I think it's fair to say that we are probably, of the ones we've seen, at the lower end of that scale. And the ones we've been to is Ivany Place in Bedford, which looks like the Rolls Royce, but when you talk to staff there, it's been overbuilt. It's too big for manning purposes. We went to North Queens, which is certainly a very nice facility. It's light years ahead of the manor. You know, the rooms are bigger, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. It's a smaller facility, 42 beds. We went to the Mountain Lee in Bridgetown, an older facility. It has some of the problems we have, like shared rooms, but it has a real dynamo of an administrator who's moving it all ahead. I don't think it hurts that it's in the Premier's riding, but that would be cynical of me. But so in any case, we are looking, and there are some wonderful facilities out there, and you don't have to build a Rolls Royce. You just need to take it up. You know, we're very definitely at the Chev level, if I can continue that analogy, and we need to come up, you know, several notches, and it really makes sense to work this Hillsview Acres, which desperately needs to be replaced, with the manor, which should be replaced, and if we can work somehow that we can walk down the aisle hand in hand together, it would take us all further ahead.
Fancy next.
Like I said, we could be here all day. We could have this whole council.
Well, I'd like to, for the record, we were in 20 minutes.
You don't need points for that, you know.
Yeah, you did your job, we didn't do ours.
Well, no, you're doing your job now, it's great.
Isn't it nice to see a councillor take the blame? A couple things. You know, funny you talked about other manners, because my son's going, took a therapeutic recreation, so he's applied to different spots. So I've been to a lot of these manners. We've done it either through doing services there, because we do North Queens and up here at Queens Manor. Right now, he's working at the Mountain League. So it's a fantastic facility. They got a fantastic administration up there, mm-hmm. and how they had. So I've been there to all the three areas they have up there that they can be able to work with. He's not in Halifax to look at things. We've been open to Shelburne, and we don't have to hold a head down for anything. I've been in the facilities where I walk in and I feel like this is like death warmed over. I wouldn't want to live here. I want to get out of here as fast as I can come in. So you've created an atmosphere that's inviting, that's welcoming, and even the painting and everything else. So I commend you all on that. One thing I did head found out even with social housing and things, it's like when you look at our transit system, we don't have barriers. Down Bridgewater, they can only go out as far as the end of Bridgewater and stop. So then you gotta try to make a connection that somebody can get from here to here. We can go and do that, those things. So we've got a lot of barriers out of the way. Food security is another question, because a lot of people are home and they don't have the money for food, or they don't say anything about. We've got a fantastic person with Charlotte White over here at the food bank. I mean, it's second to none. But there are still areas out there where there are people who are in need, and to be able to work somehow to work get the food out to some of these. There's some other little spots which is starting up, like in North Queens, who are trying to get a center to get some food out. Is there anything you fellas can work with that?
We do provide to Meals on Wheels from our kitchen.
Right.
It is something that I would like to grow. I wouldn't be able to quote now exactly how many meals go out a day, but we do contribute to Meals on Wheels through our kitchen.
But how far do you reach out with that?
Ooh, I don't know. I'd have to. We provide the meals, and it's Meals on Wheels that would determine that. I actually don't know.
Okay. And I'm out of date, but. The North Queens Nursing Home was providing the same service at one time in North Queens, because I delivered meals out. Does it still, Raymond?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's an opportunity for us. I mean, we are drastically underfunded by the Department of Health, so that is an opportunity for us to recoup some costs through that.
Yes.
So it is something that I'm looking to grow.
Okay.
There was one area we didn't touch on, which again is part of partnershiping. When we redid Queen's General Hospital, we were constrained to just replacing the 22 beds that are there. Because of the fact we haven't had new long-term care beds in Queens for years and years and years, there is now a block. People get in hospital, they get released from hospital, and there's nowhere for them to go. And I think they have four beds that are sort of allocated for that. Mm-hmm. So one of our recreational staff, Christine Stewart, Crystal Stewart, goes over 3 days a week and provides recreation, which is mental, which is physical stimulation, for the people who are in there that shouldn't be in that kind of facility, mm-hmm. but it is keeping them more alert, more active, and so on. So those kinds of services we're also providing.
We have a long agenda today, and I have Councillor Johnson as our last councillor to speak on this issue.
Well, I think most of the question was answered, but I'm totally intrigued with this idea of a partnership to build. And we talked about this, Chris, 5 years ago, this complex model or a campus model of moving forward to have a state-of-the-art opportunity here. But we keep running into choke points, and it doesn't seem whether it's us, whether it's you, whether it's the province, how do you envision this coming together and removing those choke points?
So the proposal we made to Paula Flesch, Deputy Minister of TIR, to Vicki Elliott Lopez, Director of Long-Term Care, was put together a committee, it's tripartite committee, as I said, the Region of Queens, the Manor Board, and the province. Limit its life, because if you don't, we'll be here until your grandchildren are sitting in the council chamber. Limit it to 6 months, throw expertise at it, so that we can come up with one decision, one goal. I personally believe that if we did that, and if we, the community of Queens, was prepared to throw a lot of money on the table, we could get a new manor, a new whatever built within a reasonable length of time, which could only be a bit, which would resolve both of our problems, because that would be the goal. I mean, those are the two ends, the two residential ends that we want to achieve. You're getting new, a replacement for residential care, a replacement for long-term care, and however we do that. But that's the way I would go with it. And I would hope that the region would come in on that kind of concept, and we would give, we, the Manor Board, I'm sure, will throw all of the resources we possibly can at it.
So where is that now? You say, well, we, I don't know who you mean by collective we. Is it the Manor Board that went to Paul LaFlesh, or?
They came around looking at facilities, and they came and looked at Queens Manor. And when they were there, we might have hijacked the meeting. It wouldn't be the first time I'd done that, I guess, but in any case. And we started to talk to them about our facility and what it needs and so on. And then we threw this proposal at them. We've been trying to schedule a meeting. Now I think we're on our fourth reschedule with the Director of Long-Term Care, Vicki Lopez, Elliott Lopez. And one of the items on the agenda is, where's that committee? What are you going to do about it? What have you done? So, and we're meeting on Monday?
March 2nd.
Yep. March 2nd. So we've had two or three other meetings that have got snowed out. So that's where it is from our point of view. But maybe it takes the government to be the spark, or maybe if we went hand in hand now, we could shove them, give them a push to move it ahead. But I understand one of the problems is there is no Deputy Minister of Health at the moment. Tom Mary has gone through his term. He was an interim Deputy Minister, and the new Deputy Minister doesn't start until March. So there's that vacuum there that we need to sort of work through somehow.
That answers my question. I like just seeing movement in action. But there's other roadblocks coming.
Well, given gray hair, and I'm getting it there too, we don't have a lot of time not to have action, so we got to get moving ahead.
Thank you, Councillor Johnson. And certainly the work of the manor and home care and the senior safety coordinator are all valuable services to residents and families. And we as council do appreciate your leadership and the work of your staff in all of those areas. And certainly the presentation today is very helpful and informative. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.